Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast with Essan Koman, Head of Emerging Markets Research, EMEA. It's Friday, 24th December 2021, and this week we are discussing the outlook for the GCC in 2022. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only. Essan, we are discussing the countries of the Middle East this week, and in particular, the six Gulf Cooperation Council countries, that's the GCC region. How have these important oil and gas producers fared during the pandemic? And what about the outlook for 2022?
Thanks, Una. So in the face of the pandemic shock and adverse oil market developments, the aggregate GCC economy shrunk by around 5% in 2020, which was the region's deepest contraction since 1985. However, and very promisingly, a confluence of comprising of one of the most successful COVID-19 vaccination rollouts globally, as well as higher and gas prices, in addition to a sharp rebound following the ongoing easing of mobility restrictions, has meant that the GCC region is faring very well in gradually carving out the contours towards a post-virus equilibrium. Now, the recovery in the GCC region is benefiting from a rise in oil prices, which will cut the aggregate fiscal deficit sharply this year, although lower oil prices are expected somewhat in 2022. But our robust outlook for the GCC region is really anchored on three factors converging to provide significant tailwinds to economic activity, namely the reopening effects for with the return to the pre-pandemic levels almost complete. Second, regional developments such as the UAE's Dubai Expo 2020, Qatar's FIFA 2022 World Cup, and Saudi Arabia's Riyadh season, which is hosting 7,500 events in the last quarter of 2021 alone. In addition to still firm oil prices and higher oil production, providing greater fiscal space for investments and expenditures. Turning to the risks, now these include renewed virus pressures, of course, potentially lower oil prices in 2022, delays in fiscal reform in more vulnerable countries, and global financial turbulence as a result of tighter US monetary policy. And meanwhile, growing urgency surrounding the global energy transition is adding weight to the need for domestic economic restructuring policies to reduce oil dependency.
And drilling down to the individual six GCC countries, Essan, can you offer our listeners how each of these economies have been performing and their prospects going into 2022?
Sure. Now, allow me to take each countries in turn. So first, on Saudi Arabia, which remains the largest economy in nominal dollar terms. So following a 4.1% contraction in 2020, the economy is on a recovery path with GDP growth projected to reach about 4.1% this year. Now, growth is expected to accelerate even further to 5.4% in 2022 on the back of a significant increase in oil production from 9.1 million barrels per day in 2021 to around 10 to 10.2 million barrels per day in 2022 in the context of the OPEC Plus agreements. Moreover, and quite critically, the non-oil sector is set to remain quite strong with a projected trajectory underpinned by strong private consumption, a gradual resumption of tourism, and higher domestic capital spending under the umbrella of the National Investment Strategy. Next up, in terms of the UAE, so supported by one of the fastest vaccination rollouts in the world and higher oil prices, the UAE economy is rebounding from its deepest downturn in decades. And after a 6.1% contraction in 2020, we expect GDP growth to pick up to around 3% in 2021, around 5.5% in 2022 on the back of very high oil production, as well as a rebound in non-oil activity. Third, in terms of Qatar, so the strengthening of hydrocarbon prices alongside the revival of domestic demand, as well as the resolution of the three-year impasse, places the country on a clear recovery path. And importantly, the expansion of the LNG investments in the North Field, which will total around $29 billion and lift production capacity from 77 to 100 million tons of LNG per annum by 2025, in addition to the December 2022 World Cup, will strengthen the outlook even further. Next up, in terms of Kuwait, so following a very deep contraction of 8.9% In 2022, the economy is expected to gather pace, with GDP growth reaching around 2% in 2021 and a significant uplift to 7.4% in 2022. Now, Kuwait remains the most oil-dependent GCC country, as domestic political challenges has had an adverse impact on diversification efforts. But we are hopeful that some of these can be resolved in 2022. Up next is Oman. So the economy is expected to recover, with growth rebounding to around 2.9% in 2021 and 4.8% in 2022, following an estimated contraction of around 3.4% in 2020. Now, the authorities have made an encouraging progress in fiscal adjustment and in the structural reform implementation, and supported by spending cuts, tax reforms, and higher revenues from oil and gas, the budget deficit is expected to narrow quite sharply to 3.8% in 2022. And looking ahead, we remain quite optimistic that the steadfast implementation of the medium-term fiscal program and structural reforms aimed at enhancing competitiveness in the private sector will be quite crucial for macroeconomic stability in the country. Very finally, on Bahrain, so the economy is expected to return to a moderate recovery trajectory, with growth hovering around 3% in 2021 and 2022 after a 5% contraction in 2020. And higher oil prices and fiscal consolidation efforts are expected to narrow the country's twin deficits. And supported by the planned doubling of the VAT rate to 10% next year, the budget deficit is expected to narrow to around 4%.
And finally, Ehsan, what does the journey towards a new economic model away from oil and gas in the context of the energy transition and ESG consideration entail for the GCC region?
So, you know, perhaps I can break this down into what the region is undertaking in moving away from the reliance on oil and gas in the context of the transition first, and then address specific structural reforms that will strengthen a more conducive and sustainable economic model. So first, on the energy transition. So now, ahead of November's COP26 meeting, we had very encouraging announcements by the UAE, Saudi Arabia, and Bahrain in terms of net zero emission pledges. And as they collectively represent around 13% of total global oil production, these have been quite significant announcements. And I would say, especially in the case of Saudi Arabia, which as a G20 member has been increasingly under pressure to announce a net zero pledge, with the kingdom comprising the highest per capita emissions across or G20 members, is certainly encouraging indeed. Now, we envisage the region to target likely regional power generation in the first step, as it remains dominant by gas and oil-fired generation, and increasingly the share of renewables in the power mix is already a stated strategy in both Saudi Arabia, which plans to have around 50% of its power mix met by renewables by 2030, and the UAE, which has a 50% clean energy target set for 2050. Also, and quite critically, we see carbon capture, utilization and storage, that's CCUS, as providing a key avenue to achieve regional carbon targets, and has been an option that has been promoted by hydrocarbon dependent economies to hit climate targets. Indeed, the UAE already makes use of CCUS in steel production, for example, where the CO2 is used in enhanced oil recovery, and expanding the offtake potential for CO2 produced by CCUS can also provide a long-term economic opportunity for the region. Now, you know, of course, as with every other net zero target globally, it only applies to emissions within borders, and we have no impact on oil exports. And so climate targets will not be impacted by the ability to produce and export oil and gas, which is quite crucial for the Middle East. Indeed, it is in recent landmark announcement by the Saudi Green Initiative that has said that the country will continue to maintain its role as a leading oil producing nation for the years to come, targeting stability of the energy market. Now, more broadly, and quite critically for us, in terms of the pathways of national oil companies in the transition, clearly the outsized role in hydrocarbon production signals that the evolution of their business model will not only have an important implication for the future energy supply, but broader climate outcomes, as well as the economic and fiscal health of fossil fuel-led exporters, is equally as important. And in the world of a structurally underinvested oil and gas industry, in our view, we see national oil companies as playing a critical role in ensuring global energy security and acting quite opportunistically to grow as international oil companies are forced to cut emissions by shareholders and lenders. A final point in the context of the transition is that an increasing number of countries in the region, notably the UAE, Saudi Arabia, and Oman, are investing in the production of hydrogen, has risen up the transition agenda given its versatility and flexibility in driving widespread decarbonization. But of course, we are in early days here, and costs will have to come down and investments will have to rise for the economic proposition to become more viable, especially when it comes to green hydrogen. Now, second, and moving away from the energy transition, specifically and honing in on the structural reforms towards a new economic model. And here, our key focus is on the productivity determinants, namely institutions, human capital, innovation, market efficiency, business environment, and infrastructure. And historical experience has demonstrated that these productivity determinants can not only stimulate investment as well as employment, but also foster more sustainable growth episodes driven by total factor productivity. So to end, encouragingly, Una, all the regional economies have bold and ambitious national vision strategies that endeavors to address almost all of these productivity determinants. And granted, diversification will require patience given the scale and magnitude of the transplantation programs at hand. But what is clear to us is that the long-standing impediments to investment and productivity are progressively being reversed.
Thanks very much for sharing your insight, Ehsan. Have a lovely week, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Ona. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review, and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for further information. Come back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.